Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's call Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Our green and gold analyst joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, now are you going to this game tonight as well?
Friday night.
Friday night you're going to be there. Okay, there you go.
Friday night. Yeah, I did have to sell tonight's game, but Friday I will be there.
Okay. Well, and you won the last time you were there, so that's good luck, right?
Undefeated. I mean, I think the only... I was not at game one of the Boston series, and so far that's their only loss. So
I was there. I've only gone back to one game since. I was there for game one. That was terrible.
So if you could do everybody a favor and not go, that might be a good idea. Take your butt at home and watch, Bill.
Yeah, you know what? I know you're kind of a basketballophile as well. Let me ask you this. For somebody who does pay attention to the NBA, is there any way you can see the Bucks losing the series?
I highly doubt it. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, get ahead of myself or discount the Raptors, but there's a lot of things going on. And I really think if you look at Toronto and Milwaukee, they're built very similarly. They're built with having a obvious superstar. Kawhi and Giannis are two of the top five players in the league, unquestioned. Lopez and Marc Gasol are very similar players. If you kind of look at second-tier guys, Pascal Siakam and Chris Middleton are both very good. They're built similarly, where you kind of have a superstar and then you have nice complements around them. But Toronto right now, Bill, has only been going seven deep. They've only been using two guys off the bench: Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet. You just played a seven-game series. You'd think comparatively there should be a much more fatigued team at this point, having had to play more playoff games. If the Bucks lose this series, which I don't think they will, I think it's a situation that, you know, an underdog won. I mean, Toronto is a clear-cut underdog. I don't think anybody at this point is thinking, like, that the Raptors should win this series. Probably not even Paul Pierce thinks that the Raptors should win this series, you know, or Joe's buddy Colin Cowherd. So, you know, there's a lot going on. I think the Bucks should win this series, and I don't want to get ahead of that, but I think they're favored for a reason.
Now I want to move on to some Packers chatter, because there's not a lot going on right now, but the whole Game of Thrones thing, when you and I talked about it the other day, I am amazed at how many people did you see Twitter just blow up with Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, it's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
I'll admit, I added some fuel to the fire, no pun intended, because of the fiery death that Aaron's character was exposed to, but... I actually had a little fun exchange. So there's a video, and I know there's like some debate, and I'm sure Joe could add some color commentary, but there's some debate online about which character Rodgers was. I saw a guy who looked awfully Aaron Rodgers-like run into an alley and have dragon fire breathed upon him in a way that no one could recover from. So I actually sent that video to our friend Pro Football Doc, and I said, Doc, you know, you think Aaron can recover from this? And he said, I think he might be ready to go for training camp. So that's the good news is you know, he can still play despite having maybe been in a dragon fire in an alley in King's Landing. So
right.
Apparently he's okay, Bill. He's all recovered from the fiery death that his character was consumed by.
Awesome. Well, as long as he's good to go for training camp, that's all we care about.
And that's all that's important, right?
That's it. As long as he's not, you know, kind of burned up at training camp, then I guess we're good to go. Hey, I do want to ask you, with all the shuffling going on right now and the NFL the way it is, and this is kind of a broader picture, but we were sitting here talking about Hard Knocks the other day, and Oakland seems to be a train wreck. Washington's still foundering. You got a lot of teams right now. It used to be there was a lot of parity in the NFL. Has the NFL, and I just got into this discussion with a buddy of mine, has the NFL... Has things changed in the NFL in the sense of the parity is no longer there? It's you don't have, I mean, there's probably 5-6 teams maybe at the beginning of the season you're going to look at and go, okay, they got a legitimate shot. Beyond that, do they really have shots anymore?
Great question. Great topic. I think the Patriots kind of ruin it a little bit.
The Jets just fired their GM today.
I saw that. I mean, you let the guy make his picks and like,
and then you can him.
And then you can, and not to mention, like a year ago, he's the one that drafted Darnold. I mean, I'm wondering if they hold it against him that Anthony Barr, you know, initially agreed to terms and then changed his mind. Like, was that the GM's fault somehow? Yeah, that's very puzzling to me, Bill. But I think if you ignore the Patriots piece of this, so let's kind of go back to the lineage. So 2 years ago, the Falcons were in the Super Bowl. Since then, they haven't been back. I don't think this past year going into the year, anybody thought that the Rams would have been the team representing the NFC. I know they were a team that was on the up and up and was making positive progress. But, you know, and then, you know, after the Eagles won their Super Bowl 2 years ago, they kind of fell off the next year. So I think the NFC has had a pretty good turn. They haven't really had any, like, consistent juggernauts. I mean, if you go back 5 years ago, it was the Packers and the Seahawks sort of as the class of the conference. And now those are two teams with, you know, huge value quarterback contracts that you have to rebuild. I think there are certain teams and certain divisions that are ruining the parity. And the big one is, of course, the AFC East. Because as good and consistent as the Patriots have been, they're getting a lot of help from the fact that the Jets are always miserable. The Dolphins are always miserable. You know, but, you know, there's going to be some change in parity here where you're going to see the Cleveland Browns be an up-and-coming team and surpass, presumably, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's new. That's different. I think that's exciting. I think the fact that, and I know people in Wisconsin certainly aren't cheering for the Bears, but I think the Bears kind of coming out of nowhere last season was, you know, a bit of an unexpected dose of parity. I'm trying to kind of go through the rest of the league in my head, but, you know, I mean, again, I think the big asterisk in this conversation is that the Patriots, from a parity perspective, are ruining everything because they're just the immovable object in the AFC that you just can't seem to get around, and that the AFC East is making way too easy on them on an annual basis. But the NFC has been mostly pretty, like, changeover from year to year, wouldn't you say?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it's
I mean, if you,
right. The NFC has been where you've had a different king reign supreme for the last few years. But when you look at the NFL in general, Cleveland's expected to be the top spot in the AFC North. We know New England is going to be there. New York, Buffalo, still kind of train wrecks. Miami, I think they'll want to be. Pittsburgh's foundering a little bit with some of the problems they've had. Cincinnati's fired their head coach. Houston's going to be there, Indianapolis, and maybe, you know, but Tennessee and Jacksonville haven't been good. Kansas City's good. L.A.'s good. But Denver's still trying to find themselves, and Oakland is a mess. It seems like there was always, you could always count on parity, and now you don't have it. It's becoming the schism between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, and I think you go through, especially, you know, the division with, like, the Colts and the Texans and the Titans, and it's just like, ugh, you know, like, no one legit. I mean, if any of those teams were to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, I think I would be very, very shocked. There's just not enough talent there, I think, considerably. But I think what the rest of the NFL is almost like preparing for is, I don't know when, and I'm certainly not going to be the person who would bet against them, but at some point, the Patriots are going to go away. At some point, Belichick and Brady are going to retire. And when that happens, you know, who in the AFC has set themselves up the best for the long term? And I know it's sort of like the popular trendy pick to say, but that could be the Cleveland Browns. Like, I don't know how to even say that without, like, a straight face because they've just been so bad for so long. But, you know, John Dorsey comes in, brings in all of his former Packers coworkers, turns it into Green Bay East. And I don't know how you could look at that roster between – the defense that they're building around Myles Garrett, a number one overall pick. Obviously, Baker Mayfield has been a huge success. And then, they've been really, really aggressive around them. I think the other team that's obviously in that consideration is, I mean, the Chiefs, as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, which he presumably will be for a very, very long time, they're not going anywhere. Their biggest problem is, of course, you know, their star running back and their star wide receiver you know, have been, you know, terrible off the field and have gotten themselves into worlds of trouble off the field. And that's obviously going to set the team back a little bit in the sense that you have to replace, you know, those players at wide receiver and at running back. But Mahomes, and this is the thing, Bill, we always talk about, and, you know, the Chiefs might be, you know, and they almost were already, but they might be able to do in 2019 what the Rams did in 2018, and that is we know how much you can build a good team around a really good quarterback who's on a rookie contract. The Chiefs have like a three-year window here, Bill, where Mahomes is going to be getting paid, you know, pennies on the dollar for what he's actually worth compared to what other quarterbacks in the league are making. So, you know, I think the teams to watch in the AFC for me are the Chiefs and the Browns. You know, can one of those teams in the next couple of years, you know, at the end of this Belichick-Brady era, unseat them in the AFC? But the NFC, I think, has been pretty parity-filled for the most part. It's just kind of that juggernaut in the AFC in New England that kind of stands in everybody else's way.
So you're going to the Bucs game on Friday. Bucs winning tonight?
Yeah, Bill, I think so. I think you can only draw upon the fact that the Bucs lost game one against Boston really handily and then made all of the adjustments and then ran the Celtics out of any building that they played against each other. And so, you know, we don't know. We don't have a long track record, obviously, with Coach Bud, you know, at Budenholzer. So, you know, are the Bucs going to become sort of a slow starting team? Are they going to always be a team that uses game one to sort of feel their way through? We don't know that yet, right? Because, I mean, you can't really glean anything from the Detroit series. So, I mean, that's my only hesitation is the fact that they did not play well in game one last series. But they're much better rested than Toronto. They're a better team than Toronto. So, you know, even if they were to lose, I still don't think it would change the fact that the Bucks would be favored in the series. Because, look, you know, I think a lot of people, myself included a little bit, kind of, you lose to Boston in game one as decisively as you did. I mean, Bill, I can't imagine you left the arena that day with, you know, feel goods in your tummy thinking like, oh, no problem. Like, that was a real kick to the gut. And yet they came back and blew them out in the next four games. So I do think they'll win tonight, but I think even if it wasn't to go that way, I don't necessarily think it would change my feeling about the series overall.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Paul, good stuff, and we will chat again, okay?
All right, thanks, Bill.
All right, pal, talk to you later. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, giving us a little bit of both as he's heading down to the Fiserv Forum coming up on Friday, but I think he's like the rest of us. We believe the Bucks are going to get a win. Excited about it. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.